This is DW News live from Berlin. The battle for Mosul resumes. After retaking the city's east last month, Iraqi forces have now launched a fresh offensive to push so-called Islamic State out of the west of the city. Hundreds of thousands of civilians are trapped by fighting, which is likely to be even worse than before. Also on the programme, Munich Security Conference comes to an end with two of the countries involved in the Syria conflict still at odds. We'll bring you a roundup of the big issues to come out of the five-day event. I'm Phil Gale. Welcome to the programme. Iraqi forces and their allies have started an offensive to retake western Mosul from so-called Islamic State. Iraq's Prime Minister Haider al-Abadi announced the US-backed offensive earlier today while calling on troops to respect human rights. More than 750,000 civilians are believed to be living in western Mosul. This latest operation comes nearly a month after the army took full control of the eastern half of the city. Five bridges that connected the east to the west over the Tigris have been destroyed. That means Iraqi forces must travel south to enter IS-controlled western Mosul and reach the strategically important airport.
The rugged terrain south of Mosul, playing host to the city's latest battle. A display of superior weaponry and manpower. Can we use the drones now, or are there restrictions? Quick response, please. Iraq's army says it retook several villages as it pushed north towards Mosul Airport. It seems a swift advance, a very different picture to 2014 when Islamists overran Mosul, pushing out Iraq's ill-prepared forces. Our helicopters backed up the troops and carried out 22 sorties. They had marvellous results, killing 93 Islamic State militants and destroying 18 of their military vehicles. But Iraq's forces are eyeing a tougher battle ahead. Analysts say it will be a brutal house-to-house fight to retake the old city on Mosul's west bank. Its narrow streets, impossible to navigate with military vehicles, and a cover too for IS fighters to hide amongst the 750,000 civilians the UN estimates still live there. Observers say conditions in western Mosul are getting worse with every day. People there have no food or water, and they can't flee either. IS has threatened to kill anyone who tries. As Iraq's Prime Minister announced the offensive, he said civilian safety was a priority. We reiterate, as we said before, the importance of taking care of people and dealing with them in a humanitarian way and providing all the necessary requirements for the displaced people, as you did before, you brave fighters. The fight to liberate western Mosul will likely take weeks or months. And any advance fraught with danger against a desperate enemy known to resort to suicide attacks.
Let's get the latest on that offensive from correspondent Birgit Svensson, who joins us on the line from Baghdad. Welcome to DW. So tell us more about the military challenges posed by the differences between the east and west of the city.
To recapture the west is the biggest challenge in the whole battle, which is going on now for more than 4 months, because the west is densely populated. Most of the people live in the west. Then we have the old city in the western part of Mosul, which narrow streets, hidden corners, so it's very difficult to operate there. And then don't forget, it's the airport, a very strategic target in the west as well.
And we heard there in the report about 750,000 civilians are thought to be still living there. What sort of conditions are they living in?
In very bad conditions. And there are different numbers coming up, but the UN says 750,000, which is reliable, I think, because IS has taken a lot of people from the eastern part to the western part in the last weeks of the battle, and they've taken them as hostages. So the 750,000, I think it's a reliable figure, and they are under their conditions. They cannot get out. They have no food, no water. It's really terrible to be there.
So is this likely to be a big battle then? How significant would it be for Islamic State to lose this half of Mosul?
Well, if they lose Mosul, I think they lose Iraq, because Mosul is the biggest city they ever possessed, and it's the city where Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi announced the caliphate in summer 2014. So Mosul has a big impact on them, and I think if they lose Mosul, they lose Iraq.
Birgit Svensson, thank you so much for joining DW. The Munich Security Conference wrapped up today, with conflicts in the Middle East dominating the agenda. The five-day event brings together world military and political leaders to discuss major security issues. And today, two of the Middle East's major powers tried to push forward their agenda. Iran and Saudi Arabia support different sides in the Syrian conflict, and that's led to an exchange of some very firm words.
Ahead of fresh Syria peace talks this week, some Middle Eastern delegates at the Munich Security Conference slammed Iran for supporting the Syrian regime. Iranian Foreign Minister Mohammad Javad Zarif appealed for cooperation.
Iran is prepared to engage with all our neighbours in the region, in the Persian Gulf region, in order to address this.
But Zarif's Saudi counterpart rejected the offer, accusing Iran of sponsoring terrorism.
For 35 years, we have extended our armed friendship to the Iranians. And for 35 years, we have gotten death and destruction in return. This cannot continue.
While the Syrian conflict overshadowed Sunday's discussions, the rest of the talks were dominated by transatlantic relations. Western countries nervous about Russia's growing strength were relieved to hear US Vice President Mike Pence call to bolster NATO.
The United States of America strongly supports NATO and will be unwavering in our commitment to this transatlantic alliance.
Reassurance for European delegates, to a degree. With US President Donald Trump's unpredictable record, much is still uncertain.
Well, with the Munich Security Conference now over, DW's chief political correspondent, Melinda Crane, caught up with the event's chairman, Wolfgang Ischinger.
The title of the conference included the words post-West, post-order, with a question mark. Would you say that answer has now come in the negative? Are you reassured by what you heard from the U.S. leaders here?
I'm partially reassured. I think most of the participants here are glad they came, because when they came here 3 days ago, many of them had a huge number of large question marks. I think the conclusion is, at the end of these 3 days, that some of the question marks can now be eliminated, not all. So, you know, this is not over yet. The number or the dimension of uncertainty. We used to have lots of uncertainty about Russian intentions, about how to end the Syrian war. These uncertainties continue. Now we came to Munich with the uncertainty about the intentions of the Trump administrations regarding Russia, regarding NATO, regarding many other issues. Some of these concerns have been alleviated, and that's great. So I think we can go home relatively satisfied that some degree of clarity has been reestablished.
Thank you very much, Ambassador, for being with us here on DW.
The South Korean authorities have accused North Korea of being responsible for the death of Kim Jong-nam, the estranged half-brother of North Korean leader Kim Jong-un. Meanwhile, Malaysian police are looking for four more North Korean suspects said to have left the country the day after Kim died, after being attacked by two suspected assassins at Kuala Lumpur Airport. A fourth person was arrested on Friday following the detention of two women and a man earlier in the week. Turkey's government has arrested more than 100 journalists since a state of emergency was put in place last year. Now a German reporter is also behind bars. Authorities accuse him and six other journalists of being members of a terrorist organisation after they reported on a hack attack that targeted a senior member of government. If convicted, he faces up to 10 years in jail.
Deniz Yücel, seen here at a press conference in Ankara at the beginning of last year. Yücel is the Turkey correspondent for German daily Die Welt and holds dual German-Turkish citizenship. In autumn 2016, like many other international journalists, he reported on a hack attack on the email account of the Turkish energy minister Berat Albayrak, a son-in-law of President Recep Tayyip Erdogan. The emails were leaked by a left-wing hacker group, a major embarrassment for the Turkish government. Because of his reporting, Turkish authorities accused Yücel of being a member of a terrorist organization, misusing data and spreading terrorist propaganda. Last Tuesday, Yücel handed himself in to police, and he's now in detention in Istanbul. Lawyer Bashar Yalta from the Turkish Bar Association says Turkey's state of emergency could mean Yücel's rights are severely limited. Freedom of the press is suffering the most right now in terms of the rule of law. Numerous journalists are in prison. At the Istanbul office of one German political organization, there are similar concerns. From a Turkish perspective, he's a Turkish citizen, so he'll be treated just as a Turkish citizen would be. That's likely to be a serious disadvantage. Yücel's arrest has put a new strain on already tense relations between Berlin and Ankara.
US President Donald Trump traded Washington for Florida on Saturday at a campaign-style rally for thousands of supporters. He criticized the media and said he wanted to be amongst friends. He also used the event to list the achievements of his turbulent first month in office.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the President of the United States and the First Lady of the United States.
After less than a month in the job, U.S. President Donald Trump returned to the kind of rally that swept him to power. Back among his adoring fans, he countered reports of turmoil within his administration, saying he was making incredible progress in making America great again.
You've seen what we've accomplished in a very short period of time. The White House is running so smoothly. So smoothly. And believe me, I and we inherited one big mess. That I can tell you.
And of course, he didn't miss an opportunity to take a swipe at the media.
When the media lies to people, I will never, ever let them get away with it. I will do whatever I can that they don't get away with it. They have their own agenda, and their agenda is not your agenda.
Along with the familiar messages, there was also an element of surprise when he invited an admirer up on stage.
This guy.
A declaration of love that illustrates that for many of his supporters, President Trump is delivering on their expectations.
A SpaceX rocket blasted off from Florida's Kennedy Space Center early this morning after technical problems stalled a launch on Saturday, just 13 seconds before liftoff.
Ignition and liftoff of the Falcon 9 to the space station on the first commercial launch from Kennedy Space Center.
The unmanned spaceships carrying food and supplies for the six astronauts living on the International Space Station. It's expected to arrive in 3 days. People in Ecuador have gone to the polls to elect a new president, and it looks like the leftist candidate, Lenin Moreno, will beat his conservative rival to take the election. With the current president, Rafael Correa, retiring, his ally, Lenin Moreno, ran a campaign promising to continue his leftist policies. Polls suggested a tight race between him and the conservative ex-banker, Guillermo Lasso. According to exit polls, Moreno is well ahead, but it's not clear if he'll get enough votes to avoid a runoff. That's it, you're up to date. I'll have more for you at the top of the hour. I'll leave you now, though, with pictures from the carnival in Venice, which is currently underway. Thousands of people from across the world come to the Lagoon City to dress up and join in the fun. One of the highlights is an angel's flight to Earth from the top of the bell tower of St. Mark's Basilica. Have a good night.